It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 27. We're going to begin reading with the 9th verse, and so please that you would open your Bibles to that so you're prepared for the study. And as you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you would like to visit us at our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope now that that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Exodus chapter 27, beginning to read with the 9th verse. And thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward. There shall be hangings of the court of fine twined linen of 100 cubits long for one side, and 20 pillars thereof, and their 20 sockets shall be of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. And likewise for the north side in the length there shall be hangings of 100 cubits long, his 20 pillars and their 20 sockets of brass, and the hooks of the pillars and their fillets of silver. For the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10 and their sockets 10. And the breadth of the court on the east side, eastward, shall be 50 cubits. The hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, and their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And on the other side shall be the hangings 15 cubits, and their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue, purple, scarlet, and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4 and their sockets 4. All the pillars round about the court shall be filleted with silver, and their hooks shall be of silver, and their sockets of brass. The length of the court shall be 100 cubits, and the breadth 50 everywhere, and the height 5 cubits of fine twined linen, and their sockets of brass. All the vessels of the tabernacle, in all the service thereof, and all the pins thereof, and all the pins of the court, shall be of brass. Now let's begin with prayer after we've read God's precious word. Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to come and to present your word. And so please make it very clear. Make it clear to the lost that they are lost and they need salvation, and you're the way of salvation. And also to the saved today, there's so much to learn, to grow us and strengthen us and give us great wisdom to walk each day in this life. So please, dear Lord, that you'll touch every heart today, whatever the need may be. And just I ask that your spirit be so powerful and so present today upon the lives of all the listeners, upon my life, that I will be led by you, that we can have a wonderful study today. So please now guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have enjoyed this study of the tabernacle as we continue to kind of walk down through the different places and stages, and we've looked at the inner veil that was present and then the outer veil of the tabernacle proper as it is. And again, it's 15 by 45 and it's 15 feet tall, and that's the tent structure. And then we come out into the courtyard in front, which would be east of the tabernacle. We find the first piece of furniture is this brazen altar. We've spoken a little bit about it, but we're going to kind of break it down a little bit clearer today. And we've talked about it last time. And we are going to continue then and get to the court itself today. We began the reading of 9th verse there. But first, we need to review just a little bit about this brazen altar. And that brazen altar is something that is so important that you cannot and do not want to miss, because you can't. You just can't. It is for certain the most important place to be. It's the most important place to come. And if you try to avoid the altar, it just will not work. People for years have tried to do that. And as we said last time we were together, it's the way to or to be barred from God. So you've got a choice. You either come and accept what is offered at that altar for you, or you don't, and you forever are separated from God. You are separated from God today if you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior. And the only way that you can come to know Him is come by way of the altar, or as it is today, the cross. The cross, it's not some altar that has been built that's in the front of your church. And if you come to that piece of furniture and you bow down and you ask forgiveness for your sins and everything, and so at that time then you're okay. Or it's not that you come before the church and take the Lord's Supper or communion, something like that. It's not that you have taken instruction, so now you supposedly understand everything, so now that makes you a child of God and a believer. Does not. Baptism is another that is used many times today. That is not true. Baptism is something that you need to take care of and do after salvation has come into your heart, but not before. Today, infant baptism is very popular. It is not scriptural. It's not of the Word of God. It's of man. And so there's many things that have been added and changed, things like that. And we need to stay with God's Word and not leave it. God's Word does not evolve into something new because our society says it should. That does not happen. There is one means to come to the to God the Father, and that's through the Son, the Lord Jesus, and not just to believe that Jesus died on the that lived here on the earth, that He was a perfect man, to believe that He was the Son of God. But you must believe that He went to the cross and He died upon that cross, and then 3 days later He rose again. And you see this altar here, this brazen altar in the tabernacle, was a picture of just that, as they would bring their sacrifices and their offerings into the tabernacle courtyard to the east of the tabernacle. And here they would find this brazen altar. And we talked about the size of it and everything last time we were together. But this animal, this sacrifice that you brought, whatever it was, according to the Word of God, according to your means, you would bring this sacrifice, and this sacrifice then would be put to death. You would take the blood and pour the blood at the base of this altar, and the body would be laid upon the altar and consumed in the fire. And so you see, that's a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as He died on the cross of Calvary, took our sin away. What a wonderful day that was. And that day, the work was completed. Now, if He had not rose again, the Scripture is very clear that there would be no forgiveness of sin. So you see, it is the death upon the cross of Calvary, and that's where you meet the Lord Jesus, because that's where He took your sin upon Himself. That's where that took place. But life comes because He rose again 3 days later. Again, the way to, or the being barred from God, is found at this altar, or at the cross of Calvary. This altar was a place of substitutionary sacrifice, and wonderfully, we are wonderfully saved the day we come by faith to that cross. That cross was there 2,000 years ago. You can't put a cross up in your yard or cross up in front of the church or whatever you'd like to do to memorialize something. No, it's something that is spiritual. It's something that God will do a work in your heart by the Holy Spirit if you will just come and say, I want to believe that Jesus died for my sin. And if you'll just come and come with that heart that is willing to believe God, your sins will be forgiven. Please save me, dear Lord. That's what you've got to come and do. You've got to come with that believing heart, that heart of faith. Now, please, that you do that today. And so as we find this article of furniture here, we've talked about the horns, we've talked about the two staves, and we're just going to kind of review that very quickly. You know, if there would have just been one, you could have never carried this altar. And the gospel is in two stages, too. The first is His death, and the second is His resurrection. and it's out of bounds. It's not going to work unless you have both. And so please today come with faith, asking Jesus Christ to save you. If you are born again, you know what I'm talking about. Please that you don't try to evolve into something new. Let's go back to these beautiful, the Word of God. You know that I use the King James, and I will always use the King James. There's a lot of versions out there. Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. Why change? King James is fine. It is the closest to the original. And there's a multitude of folks in the past have been born again and saved by this King James and this Bible. And please that you will focus upon studying the Word of God and don't think you need something just comfortable to read. Okay? That's what we need to do. Now, next we need to look at the opportunity that we have to come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and we have to have this courtyard. Well, this courtyard has one gate, and we've talked about the size of it just very quickly there. We find it to be the gate 15 cubits. Now, if we look at 15 cubits in size, we have so many directions and dimensions here, and with this 15 cubits, we find it to be 22.5 feet wide. That is, again, approximate, because a cubit can vary just a little bit. It's God's cubit, and I'm sure it was exact and accurate at that day, but we don't know. We suppose it's about 18 inches. And so being 18 inches, why, that comes to 22.5 feet, if I did my math correctly. On each side, that leaves the remaining door at 30. I kind of misled you there just a little bit, and I didn't mean to. The sides are 15, and so if the courtyard itself, as we have read here, is 100 cubits, and the width is, we'll look here, 100 cubits long, and then let's just read the word here. Thou shalt make the court of the tabernacle for the south side southward. There shall be a hanging of in the court of fine twined linen, and 100 cubits long on one side. And then it talks about the 20 pillars and the 20 sockets of brass. And then there's hooks, and there's of the pillars and their fillets, and they shall be silver. And we're going to talk about that in a second here. Likewise, for the north side, the length shall be a hanging of 100 cubits long, 20 pillars, 20 sockets, hooks of the pillars, and their fillets of silver. For the breadth of the court, west side, which would be behind the tabernacle, as you enter into the east, shall be the hangings of 50 cubits. Now, that makes the tabernacle, the courtyard of the tabernacle, 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. As we look at that 150 foot long and 75 feet wide, and then we look at the east side, then we have the 15 cubits on each corner and a 30 foot opening in the middle. Now, that opening, if you'll remember, also has the beautiful colors, and the hanging of the gate for the court is blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, wrought with needlework, and then it has sockets to support it. And so the only way to enter in to this courtyard and on eventually to the tabernacle, of course, is through this door, this gate. Now, this veil, there's a veil that circles around. It didn't really call it a veil. It called it a hanging. The hangings for the court of fine twined linen, 100 cubits long. And so as we look down the side there, here is this curtain. They called it a hanging. And it was attached with this little clasp of silver. We have the posts. They were of brass. Let's confirm that. 20 pillars thereof, and their sockets shall be of brass. All right, now, so keep this in mind as we are circling around this tabernacle. We have the sockets, and if you're able to, I just kind of draw a little picture so that you kind of get it in your mind here, because I want you to see this, because we're not to make it, but it is to help us understand that there is only one way to the Lord Jesus, and that's through the door, and that's the only way. But if you would look here, this veil or this curtain, this hanging, is 150 foot long, 75 feet wide across the west side, and then another 150 feet back on the north side. So we've went down the south, come across the west, come up the north, and then we come, and if you'll head back then around the corner on the east side, then we've got a little short part there, and that's 22 and a half feet on each side. That leaves us a remaining door of 30 feet. And so that gives us all the dimensions that we need to make it work. It comes up to 75 feet. This hanging is only 7.5 feet tall. It's 7.5 feet tall. Now, as we have read this scripture, I want you to see this, because here it begins at the gate. Let's just start at the gate on the east side. And for 22.5 feet, we have this white veil, this white hanging. Beautiful. It's pure white. The gate itself has the other colors to it, as we do in the veil that's keeping you from going into the tabernacle itself, and then the other veil between the holy place and the holy of holies, these curtains. This hanging that goes all the way around is just white. It is supported by a brass post with a brass socket. Now I'm going to ask a question again. What does the brass stand for? The brass stands for judgment. Now, we have the brass post, the brass socket. If you'll remember, the tabernacle building is supported by silver. The silver stands for atonement. It stands for the blood. Well, outside this courtyard, it's not supported by the blood of Jesus Christ, by this silver, by the atoning. It's supported with brass, which stands for judgment. Now, hanging on this brass post is this 7.5 this 7.5 foot high hanging or curtain, and it is supported or held by a little clasp at the top, and that is of silver. Now, this fine twined linen we have talked about stands for righteousness. That white is righteousness. This white fine twined linen, that stands for righteousness. The brass stands for judgment, and this little silver clasp stands for the blood or the atoning power of Jesus Christ. Now look at that. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You cannot enter in any other way. It has to be through the righteousness of God. It has to come through His atoning blood. And without coming through there, there is only judgment to be found. You cannot. Now you says, well, I can just lift that white curtain up and walk right underneath and get inside there and partake of everything. No, you can't. The only way to come is through that eastern gate. Come through that opening that's 30 feet wide, and the first thing that you find there is this brass altar. Once again, a place of judgment. But because we're sinners, we cannot pass through. We cannot come any other way. There will be judgment. But because of the righteousness and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we do have an opportunity. And so you see, we have this curtain all the way around. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that we have of Jesus Christ. He faced our judgment. He is righteous. He saved us by His blood, the redeeming, atoning blood of Jesus Christ. Get this again. The reason I wanted to kind of have you look at this is because if you would be out just a little ways, 7.5 feet isn't real tall. How tall is the tabernacle? That's right, it's 15 feet. So you see the tabernacle, the building, this tent, is twice the height that this curtain is. You wouldn't have to be very far away from that curtain to look in. And so as you're looking in, what are you seeing? You're seeing possibly three things. If you would be up on a little ridge to where you could kind of look inside, first thing that you're going to see is that brazen altar and the smoke rising from that. And if you're downwind, you're going to smell the stench of that burning flesh. Next, you're going to have the brazen laver, and you're going to see folks there washing their feet, washing their hands, and then coming forward, eastward or westward, on towards the tabernacle, and they'll disappear inside. Now, you see this brass altar, you see the brass laver, and what do you see when you look at the tabernacle itself? The only thing you see is this drab, possibly and probably porpoise hide. They call it badger skin, but probably it's a porpoise hide. Now, if you've ever noticed that, number one, it's very durable, but it also is very drab and not attractive at all. So now, you're on the outside. You see the brass posts. You see the white curtain. You see the silver clasps. But you look right on in, and all you see is this smoke and the smell of death and this drab building. And you're saying to yourself, what is it that's so exciting to these people as they're coming and going and working inside this area? What is that all about? What's so important about that? Well, you see, those that have come by the way of that altar and have brought their sacrifice and have accepted by faith what that means. And what that means is that I believe the Messiah is coming. Now, this was back in this day, and this is some 1,500 years before Jesus came to the cross. But now we're looking back some 2,000 plus years since he has been to the cross. And so you see, that work is finished. No longer do we need to bring an animal and offer it and pour the blood at the base. That doesn't need to be done. And that need to be done repeatedly because, you see, it was not a perfect sacrifice. But what these people had the blessing of being a part of, after they'd come to the altar, after they had washed, scrubbed, got rid of the dirt, they came right on in. And they stepped inside that tabernacle to the most beautiful, glorious place on earth. No natural light. It was just the glimmer and the beautiful brightness from the lampstand. They had the opportunity to fellowship and feed upon the table of showbread. And no longer did it have the stench and the stink of death, the smell of that burning flesh. Because, you see, we have this prayer altar or this incense altar that's right before the veil, that right before you go into the Holy of Holies. So you step in there, and it is the most beautiful, wonderful environment in all the world was found right in this little room, 15 foot wide, 15 foot tall, and 30 foot long. What wonderful fellowship these priests had. After they had taken care of their work, and they would go in for this fellowship. And, of course, we know that the next step, and we've talked about that veil between, how it was rent, remember? It was split in two. What a wonderful opportunity to watch, have the chance now, the opportunity now, to come feed upon the Word, enjoy the beautiful light, be with, and I said, inserted prayer altar, because this incense altar, as we come to the Lord and lift Him up in prayer, lift Him up in praise, is just as if it was sweet incense coming before Him. And that allows us to come right through into the Holy of Holies. Of course, here it was just one day, the Day of Atonement, and not the priest could do that. It was only the high priest that had that opportunity. But because Jesus has finished the work up on the cross of Calvary, we can come right through the veil because of the Son of God, because of the Lord Jesus, and go right to our Father and ask Him, God the Father, and fellowship with Him, and give our requests through the Son to the Father. Please, that you understand what a beautiful picture this is. Are you going to try to come another way? Are you going to try to come through this under this veil? Oh, I think on the back side I can sneak in. A lot of people think they can sneak in to heaven. They can use their work. They can use many things like that. But it can't be done. It's impossible today to come by faith to Jesus Christ without coming through that gate to the cross first, to the altar first. You must come to the altar first. Please don't miss that. I beg you not to miss that. Do not trust in anything that your church is telling you if it is contrary to you coming to the cross of Calvary by faith and having that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Don't miss that. It is too important. It is the most important decision you'll ever, ever make in your life. It surpasses your wedding vows. It surpasses any accomplishment that you could have in this life is the day that you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus today. Please trust in Him. I hope that you can see this picture. We'll go through it very quickly again next time. We didn't get to the blue and the purple and the scarlet and fine twined linen that is before the gate there. Once again, that blue stands for heaven, Christ's home. The scarlet is the sacrificial death. The purple is royalty. He is King of Kings. And the white, of course, is the sinless righteousness in His perfection. What a wonderful opportunity that we have to come by faith. How do you do it? You just ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. Please do that today. Don't try to come another way. You say, I think I can. I think I can come another way. No, you can't. Don't even try. Come through that door, through the gate, to the altar. You've got to come that way. That is the only way that you can come. So please today, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Please today be born again. I love the pictures we have. I love what is here that we can look at with all the articles of the furniture and everything. But that silver, that brass, and that white linen, oh, it's so beautiful because of what it stands for. But that righteousness, you can't come through unless you have the blood. Judgment is certain if you don't have the blood of Jesus Christ, not of an animal, not of another individual, but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?